This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
614, a nice day today as we get you through this weather thing. A chance of severe weather on Saturday has canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade in New Orleans and caused for the others to be moved to Sunday. I don't think they're going to move the one in New Orleans to Sunday because historically associated with St. Joseph's Day is Super Sunday and the Mardi Gras Indians, and I believe NOPD is going to be plenty busy with that. So I don't think they're going to move the St. Patrick's Day Parade downtown to Sunday. I don't see how that could happen, but who knows? Anyway, highs of 81 today, 81 tomorrow, 79 on Saturday with that risk for severe weather in the afternoon. Then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, nice. Plenty of sunshine, highs in the upper 70s all next week, really. Maybe even a little bit cooler than that by Friday. So we know about DOGE. You know about the cuts that are being made. I would like to preface this just to put it in a political perspective that not everything President Trump does is right because he's President Trump. Not everything President Trump does is wrong because he's President Trump. Not everything anybody does is right or wrong simply because of who they are. And that applies to Elon Musk and his DOGE cuts as well. With that, we welcome in Jamie Rowan, Associate Professor of Legal Studies at UMass Amherst and Director of the Center for Justice, Law, and Societies to talk about how some of the cuts that have already been made, as I understand it, could affect veterans. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about, I know we're going to talk about veterans, but generally speaking, when it comes to, they used to have this old thing, they'd say the 101st Airborne was, and it's very insensitive, I understand that, but it was, you know, kill them all, let God sort them. Okay, that's what they would say. And it seems as though when it comes to Elon Musk and his DOGE cuts, there seems to be a lot of just mass cuts here without really paying attention to what we're doing or why. Is that the way this is shaking out?
Well, when it comes to the VA, what's interesting is the memo that came out said that they want to reduce staffing to 2019 levels. That may seem logical because why did we need to hire additional people over the past 6 years and now there's over 480,000 employees? The problem is that the federal government decided to expand eligibility for health care to 400,000 new veterans, which is a great thing over the last few years. These were veterans that were not necessarily eligible for this care. And so the increase in staffing has actually decreased wait times for the VA and really improved care. And there's really good evidence of that. And so just deciding a workforce cut based on a year, 2019, doesn't show good planning. Interestingly, the Republican legislators yesterday introduced bills to suggest that we could take a few months to decide whom to cut. And the Democrats actually came with a different bill that said we need to be honoring our promise to veterans, our actually legal obligation to veterans, to both in the VA, but not to fire them and to make sure to retain any that are being part of these broad sweeping cuts. In general, the VA is getting swept up exactly as you said in just broad cuts that are not being targeted. Everyone knows there's waste in the government. But cutting jobs just to cut jobs doesn't cut waste in the government. It actually cuts necessary services for veterans.
Somebody texted in and said, as far as policy goes, Tommy, do you even know what you like? You have a lot of opinions on policy, but you never talk about what you actually think is good policy. I'll tell you right now, what is sound policy is leaving politics out of it, taking a cause and effect look at things. And as Jamie, as you just said, okay, we have 400,000 extra employees, or how many extra employees did you say?
So they hired 66,000 extra employees over the last year. And it was because there were 400,000 new veterans that they were supposed to serve.
So let's
and
talk policy.
And there were severe staffing shortages.
Right. And if you want to talk policy, here's what policy makes sense to me is, first of all, thank you for your service. It's easy to say those, five words? Thank you for your service. That's easy to say. That makes you feel good about yourself. That doesn't help anybody at all. And we've talked about the treatment that veterans in this country have gotten for a long time. You can put a yellow ribbon on your car and you can say thank you for your service, but if you're not willing to put your money where your mouth is, you can shove all of that. Pardon me, Professor, but it's worthless.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. It's useless. It makes you feel good about yourself and maybe you can sleep at night, but it doesn't help a veteran that needs help. So as far as policy goes, if consistently we've not given veterans what they need and finally we started giving them what they need, or at least took a step toward giving them what they need, well, then you can't just say from a policy standpoint, oh, we hired all these extra people, got to cut them loose. No, because the veterans were underserved to begin with. You got to look at cause and effect. That's the policy I'm for, which is why you hired these people. What are they doing? And is you can't say that every department is filled with waste or that you're just going to make the same thing when it comes to budgeting, make cuts across the board, because you could be cutting services that are needed and some that are useless. And that's a political situation that doesn't solve anything. I don't mean to get on my soapbox here, Professor, but somebody texted in and it just seems like people get caught up in politics and think that whatever one does is right, whatever the other does is wrong automatically because of who they are without looking into the details of it. We'll take a break, come back, talk about five areas where veterans are being hurt specifically with these cuts. Jamie Rowan is our guest, Associate Professor of Legal Studies at UMass Amherst, Director of the Center for Justice, Law, and Societies. I'm passionate about this because for 20 years now I've been saying veterans, the treatment that veterans get in this country is shameful. Finally, we take steps toward it. So what are we going to do? Make a political splash, we're going to start cutting back the workers that we hired and screw the veterans in the process. Traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jamie Rowan, Associate Professor of Legal Studies at UMass Amherst, Director of the Center for Justice, Law, and Societies. Professor, before we get to the vets, I got to address this text that says, cut everything everywhere, blow it all up, start over clean, cut everything except Social Security and Medicare, which we pay into and get less back than we put in, and take a sledgehammer and chainsaw to cut the waste out of that. Okay, I get you watching the videos on YouTube and everything and all that stuff. First of all, you're wrong because the vast majority of Americans get far more from Social Security than they pay in. If you want to go back and say, well, if you had a chance to invest your money in different things, then maybe you wouldn't have to do that. Okay, make an argument there. But don't say that you pay more in the Social Security than you get out, because that's not true. Secondly, that to me, Professor, would be analogous when it comes to policy to, okay, we got a leaky pipe. You know what we're going to do? We're going to tear the house down and start all over. Well, where are you going to sleep tonight? And how long is it going to take you to find a roof over your head? Explain when it comes to policy, please, how you have to be selective in what you do, and you can maybe tailor it to this veteran situation that we're talking about.
Sure. I think the way to look at it is it's not a free market. It's not like there's competing governments and the best one is going to enter the space and do the services. The fact is we have a government. It does services. When we slash and burn all of those services that we don't even realize we're getting, there will not be anyone entering to fill that space. That is the nature of the private sector versus the public sector. They're different. And so the model here, when it comes to veterans healthcare, for example, would be, all right, let's just assume that we don't need a federally funded public health care system for the people who served this country. They can just go into the community. The fact is they can't. The Veterans Affairs have actually tried this. They've tried to funnel some money into the private sector for veterans who had long wait times at the VA and discovered the quality of care was less, the wait times were longer, and in fact, the services that they were getting at the VA were far superior. And so it doesn't have the same analogy of slash and burn and something better is going to take its place.
Let's talk about specifically veterans, how they've been hurt with these cuts.
Yeah, so one of the most important things for people to realize is that the federal government has done a wonderful job of prioritizing hiring veterans. There is law. In 1944, Congress passed a law that veterans should be given preference in federal hiring. That means veterans make up 6.1% of the American population and 30% of the federal workforce. These cuts are not being targeted at people based on their performance or their skills. It's just slash for numbers. That means veterans are more harmed than non-veterans because there are more veterans in the federal workforce. The second thing to realize is these cuts to the VA directly harm VA healthcare, veterans' healthcare. They have quality healthcare through the VA, and 90% of the VA's budget and staffing goes to healthcare. And so cutting the VA means cutting healthcare. One of the more tragic pieces of this cuts, though, is the suicide hotline. People who care, for example, about mass shootings and know and believe that people have rights to guns, but it's a mental health crisis that contributes to mass shootings, would probably appreciate the very low cost of a suicide hotline or a crisis hotline for people feeling like they're in crisis. That crisis hotline fields over 2,500 calls a day, and that is now getting slashed. And so people are not going to have people to call if they're in a moment of crisis. The other thing that's really important is veterans suffer from higher rates of substance use, mental health, more criminal legal involvement with more punitive outcomes. They end up incarcerated for longer. And the information we have about veterans and how to help them is gathered through the VA and the most extensive research body that we have in this country. So studies on veterans have shown really important links to between smoking and cancer and how to solve prostate cancer and treat it. And all of that is going to get cut. And so this really important information that we use to help veterans, but also the wider public, is going to go.
Professor, real quick, we only have 30 seconds left. Once you break it, how long does it take to fix it? Because you're talking about veterans who go without services.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Veterans who may take their own lives, veterans who may go on shooting sprees, etc. Once you break it, how long does it take to fix it?
Well, there's two things to think through. One is, how do you rebuild the services? That's a concrete solution that Congress could just fund and we might be able to get it back. But what do you do with the lost trust? And that is what is really difficult right now. There's a mental health crisis brewing as people who gave their lives for this country feel like the country has abandoned them. I'm not sure how you regain that trust and how long that takes.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Mike Strang, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. 6:45, quarter till 7. Nice day today. Big old moon out there. And then I got some kind of blood moon or something tonight. I don't know, Dave Cohen's talking about. You can see it if it's clear. Tomorrow, highs of 80. So more warm weather, dry, cloudy tomorrow. Then a chance for showers on Saturday. It's going to screw up the St. Patrick's activities. Some have been postponed till Sunday. The Irish Channel St. Patrick's Day Parade has been I guess, delayed. I don't know what they're going to do with it. They're not going to be able to do it on Sunday because that's Super Sunday with the Mardi Gras Indians, and that's for St. Joseph's Day, and that's a tradition that happens every year. So I guess they'll have to see if they can come up with an alternate day for that. But then after, Sunday is perfect, highs of 70. St. Patrick's Day itself on Monday, highs of 72, plenty of sunshine. So get out and wear some green. Mike Strain joins us now. Dr. Mike Strain, the commissioner for Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Dr. Strain?
Man, I am doing great. How you like this weather?
Man, I'm loving it.
I'm telling you, it's nice. You know, the ground's drying up. I'm trying to get my garden in the ground. You know, it's got to get a little bit drier so we can get the tractors out there and get it tilled up, get it rowed up, and get it started. I can't wait for fresh Creole tomatoes.
And I got four-month-old Teddy Tucker here. You got Hootie over there. I got Teddy Tucker.
Goodness. How is Teddy? Teddy
is doing great, Mike. He's housebroken like you wouldn't believe, and I can leave the door open with the weather as nice as it is. He comes and goes like he pleases. And this dog, it amazes me. And I want to ask you, this is a veterinarian. I don't know how this happens, but I walk the dog, and he knows when he's had enough, because he'll jump up on me, and then it's time to turn around, because if I go past that, I got to carry him back. How do these dogs know that? How is that?
Look, they're very smart. That dog's got you in training right now.
He does.
Right?
He really does.
Oh, he does. Absolutely. They are so smart. Dogs and cats, to a certain degree, can get that smart. So I have a cat that will go scratch the door, not for you to let the cat out. So you will go into the kitchen and get them a treat. They figure it out. You scratch the door, you get out of bed and wake up. And so what? You're not going outside? Then run to the kitchen, you know. And so they learn pretty quickly, you know, what the routine is. But you become, you know, I'm sure with Teddy, you are the focus of Teddy's existence.
Yeah, well, just
Teddy is continuously, you know, working you to make you both of your lives much better.
Just so you know, Teddy's no high-class basset hound or anything like that. He's like I am. He's Tractor Supply mutt trash, you know what I'm saying? So both of us get along well.
Well, like we say, you have an abundance of well-diversified genetics there with Teddy.
Same with me. We're both mutts.
That's right. Yeah, mutts are good.
Yeah.
I've had quite a few mutts. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, yeah, you got the best of, like, you know, you got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, so it works out well. Let's talk about seafood, Mike, Louisiana crabs and Lenten. I was at a restaurant the other day, and I saw somebody order. You and I have spoken about the big, giant blue crabs. Man, this thing looked like snow crabs that he was eating. They were that big.
I tell you, if you go down to Bobby Lovell there in St. Bernard Parish, White Boot Warriors, you can order online. He's got some of the biggest crabs I've ever seen. And they are really nice. The weather conditions have been just right. And I've never seen crabs that fat. My grandfather was a commercial fisherman after he retired from state police. And, you know, we had crabs, but these crabs here are just tremendous, you know, and they're coming from different areas. And they are really, really, really nice. You know, and if you haven't had crabs in a while, because we used to eat crabs all the time. But you need to get some. And look, what is gumbo? What is seafood gumbo if you don't have crabs in it?
Mike, somebody texted in. This is a good question because I lived here all my life. I love it when it comes. I guess it's primarily the female crabs, whether it's yellow or it's orange. Am I eating fat? Am I eating eggs? What is that? Because it's delicious.
Well, on the inside the shell, right? Well, yeah, that is fat. And especially if you reach your fingers up into the horns and
yeah,
feel
but
that.
Yellow
out.
Or orange?
It's kind of orange. It really is really orange. Now, in the old days, people would eat the eggs on the bottom of the females. Now, you shouldn't do that. I mean, you don't eat those eggs, but that was something that was common. I've seen large numbers of crabs with that, you know, down in Grand Isle.
You talking about on the outside, Mike?
Put those back, yeah, on the outside,
oh,
right?
I've never done that.
Yeah, yep. That's old. People used to do that, but now you need to put those crabs back. Right,
so they can go ahead and repopulate it. They got that kind of thick orange stuff, and then they got the kind of looser mustardish looking stuff. All of that is fat.
Well, the orange stuff is a fat. The looser mustard stuff is probably at some point you've got, you know, just like crawfish. The crawfish fat is actually sort of like their pseudo liver, I would think.
Okay.
It's different. It's a different tissue. But that hard fat up there, and look, that's delicious. Well, it's all good. Mm-hmm. But remember, all you do, you take your thumb, right, and you clean the lung tissue off, right? You clean that off. You know, you can see little fingers, and then everything else is edible. you know, and that yellow, you know, that yellow material, you know, that's just more part of the crab. It's probably more like hepatocellular. We call that fat, but it's really not like the hard fat that's up in the shell. But it's very good, and it gives it a lot of flavor, just like crawfish. It's, you know, it is that hepatocellular tissue, which is fatty tissue, gives it that distinct flavor. And so, you know, when you look like with crawfish, if you get peeled crawfish and it's just crawfish and you don't have, you know, that orangish material, that hepatocellular, quote, fat in there, well, it's not near as flavorful. And the same way with the crab. So that's all good. Don't throw any of that away. Don't throw the fat away. Don't throw, you know, that yellow orangish material that's closer in, you know, to the meat of the crabs.
Let's talk about tariffs, if we can, Mike, because it's in the news a lot. And when it comes to shrimp and what we've talked about, boy, it really isn't a way. The whole tariff discussion in microcosm, is it not?
Well, it is. And so, but there's several things going on with the tariffs. One, overall in the United States, our imbalance of trade is $1 trillion this year. Which means we will buy $1 trillion more in goods than we export. That is very, very bad. That is one of the things that drives inflation, and it really hurts our currency. You know, if you look at the primary purpose of tariffs is, one, originally in the United States, that's how the government was funded, with tariffs, period. And we didn't have income taxes, really, until probably the 1930s around, or 1940s. Second is to balance the, you know, the value of goods and services, specifically goods, in foreign countries with shrimp and with other commodities, and specifically rice. The governments will subsidize the production of those things, and then they will dump it on the market below cost. And a tariff is to level the playing field. You know, here in the United States, we play by a lot of rules. We're very, you know, we have environmental rules, we have labor rules, we have all these different things. And so the cost of production is based on those input costs. In other countries, they don't have that. Not only that, they will, quote, backdoor supplement the production of products, and then they will sell them on the markets. And what happens is that if you look at our shrimp industry, you know, it costs more to produce the local shrimp. You would think that you could go down to the docks and buy shrimp off the boat, you know, cheaper than you could import them, but that's not the case. Because in many cases, the imports are artificially below what it would cost to produce them. And so tariffs, if they put tariffs on shrimp, it is to balance that out.
I got a text about produce and quality and imported produce. There's also a quality concern, is there not, Mike, with imported goods?
There's absolutely a quality concern. And when you're talking about produce, you know, the biggest seller of produce into the United States is Mexico. Second biggest seller in the United States is California, and then you have your local produce. And so when you start looking at that, you know, we really have to be careful on produce, especially, you know, when you start looking at what comes in from Mexico. If you think about, you know, the different outbreaks we've had, you know, E. coli and salmonella, a lot of that was from produce from Mexico. So it's got to be inspected, but a lot of produce comes in from Mexico, and that's a labor issue. Now, Mexico is starting to get labor issues because they're having to use foreign workers, H-2A and H-2B type, coming from South America and Guatemala as their workers want to come here and work. But you really have to keep a very close eye on the quality. And that's why we do a lot of testing. The USDA does a lot of testing, you know, and the CDC keeps track of it. And that's why we track these products. So if there is an issue, then we can deal with it quickly.
Thank you, Mike Strain. Appreciate your time as always. Y'all, look, go to tell me where they can find the crawfish tails, Mike.
Oh, you can go to our website, ldaf.la.gov. There's a great one there. Just came out on White Boot Warriors, and it's Bobby Lavelle. And you're going to really like that one, and it's about crabs. And so if we want a strong seafood industry, we have to consume certified Louisiana seafood, fresh, local, certified. Time for some crabs, shrimps, crawfish, and don't forget about them oysters.
You got that right. Thank you, Mike. 655, 5 till 7, traffic now, WWL.